Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
How real do you think Jake Browning is?
I think he's a competent backup because he's accurate and he's calm, and Zach Taylor actually knows how to scheme up an offense that's backup quarterback friendly.
Coaches want backups that just do what they're told to do, yep. And that's the Jake Browning experience.
And I'll just say this, when you asked him and Connor was just like, he's a competent backup, I like that you looked directly at Jay when you said that. Thank you very much.
He asked the question, I gave the answer.
But you looked right at Jay.
There are lots of similarities between me and Jake Browning.
You are very confident. You've been in the system for a while.
Yeah. Matthew's out today.
I can
fire
get the
up Jay.
Jamar Chase.
They will do whatever we tell them to do.
100%.
I love Yak. Yeah. Big Yak guy.
Big Yak guy.
Well, speaking of that, waiver wire wide receivers.
Pre-game, came in as the host. Yeah. Michael was out sick.
Something compared to Jake Browning.
Yeah, you know. It was a Browning-esque performance.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry. Jay, I don't think you're a backup, by the way. I just want to make that clear.
Our
sound at the top. And Lawrence Jackson back in the house because it's Wednesday. Yeah. That means we got to keep it open, close it out. We're doing a quarterback draft today of really bad options, all kinds of nonsense going on.
Yeah, I will say this. That is fair. In a world in which, you know, Aiden O'Connell is a starter, in a world in which,
Stick.
You know, Easton Stick is a starter.
The Stickman part,
the Stickman, you are a starter. That's
yes.
True, Jay. The bar to be a starter is lower now, and so
anyone can start in the NFL these days.
It would be clear. So exactly. You've gone from competent backup to a starter.
Yes.
No qualifier. Yes.
I'm a starter.
Yeah. Not a good one, but, you know, whatever. A starter.
And anybody could drink free.
Anyone can drink free, but I'm going to tell you right here who drinks free today. The question was who drinks free, and I want to tell you our buddy Lawrence plus money Jackson. You drink free today.
I have accrued a lot of nicknames.
You have accrued a lot of nicknames. You drink free, and I'm going to tell you why. And
it's the first know time. Why?
Why
I
is
know
that?
Why.
Well, go ahead. Why do you know?
See, folks, when it was first, you know, said that I'll be drinking free, I shot a little text in the Fantasy Happy Hour group chat of a GIF file of Eminem and 8 Mile throwing the mic to Papa Doc after he just. You know, he just destroyed him in the battle because he already knew what he was going to say against him. And I know what you're going to say.
This is true. This is true. That was one of the great moments. The end of 8 Mile. Here you go. Lord Willing Lamar, owned by our own Lawrence Jackson. The season did not go the way our friend Lawrence wanted.
Get Lamar's name out of your tank.
Yeah,
nah,
exactly.
Because look, I went out swinging with Lamar.
I would just say this, at Lord don't lose, at Lord does lose.
Lord lost 7
listen,
in a row.
That's
Lord
why you
loses 7
I started 2-0 and won 3 games. Started 2-0 and won 3 damn games. I said, you know what?
I played
Penn State Blake in the final week. I said, you know what? I'm going to mess him up for the playoffs. So what I did was I had Lamar Jackson, Desmond Ritter. They ended up finishing the top two fantasy quarterbacks.
True.
I still lost.
Yeah.
That just go to show you how bad my team was.
It was not
we,
good.
We struggled this year. You know, I came in this year saying, you know, I ain't say it out loud, but in my mind, I was like, I'm going to show these people. I'm going to show them who the man is. Well, I wasn't the man this year, but next year, damn it, I won't be drinking free. Not because it is.
You definitely showed us something. That is for sure. You definitely showed America something. Anyway, Myself, Jay, and Connor here at the desk, we have something to play for this week. We're going to, you know, like everyone else watching the show. If you're watching the show, it's because you have a reason to play in week 15. You're indeed, here because indeed. You're contractually obligated to be so.
Yeah, you know.
So, anyway, you drink free, my friend. Shots on all of us. We feel bad for your pain. The season did not go the way you want. Where did it all go wrong? Was it you picked Lamar first?
So I went Lamar, Anthony Richardson, back to back.
Yeah.
And this is why I started 2-0, but then Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, Superflex
League. Yeah, Superflex League. But then, you know, Anthony Richardson missed the one game. He came back. Then he was out for the season. Also had Aaron Jones, who missed time early in the season. Had Garrett Wilson. It was like he got hurt because his quarterback got hurt. I drafted him because I saw that pretty touchdown that Aaron Rodgers threw to him in the preseason. I drafted Darren Waller, liked him a lot this season. He had a couple good games, but he didn't play this year. So, you know, so that was five of my first six picks right there.
Honestly, like in a league in which, like everyone on the show, like knows what they're, all jokes aside, it's a very competitive league. Like indeed. Everyone in the league obviously lives, breathes, eats, talks fantasy football every day of their life. And so it's a very competitive league. And so that'll do it when you have, and Lamar, like as great as Lamar is, fantasy wise, Lamar's been very up and down this year.
In the beginning, it wasn't good. So that contributed. But I will say this, like Denzel said, I'm leaving with something. I got Tommy DeVito, Jake Browning on my bench, and none of y'all. I know y'all want them right now.
That explains why Jay and I and Pete were in a battle to claim Easton Stick. And you started. Not just for fun. We
Easton
needed
stick.
Him.
The stick man came home with me.
Yes, he did.
I will be starting the stick man.
Good pickup lines.
Tomorrow night, unfortunately.
Let's jump into the Roto World player news. For all your player news, go to NBCSports.com. Here are the notable injuries we're tracking. C.J. Stroud with the concussion. Geno Smith with the groin injury. Tyreek Hill with that ankle. Justin Jefferson had to go to the hospital with the chest injury. Ja'Marr Chase with an ankle. Nico Collins left the first half of the Jets game with a calf injury. He did not come back. Aaron Jones with his knee injury. Alexander Mattison, we'll see if it's a Ty Chandler week. Isaiah Pacheco with the shoulder. Brian Robinson still dealing with the hamstring out of the bye. And, Jay, I think we start right there with Stroud, who took a pretty vicious hit from Quinnen Williams and was, you know, down and out on the ground for quite a bit.
Yeah, not great. And just the type of hit that it was and the manner of the concussion, I would expect that he's probably not going to play this week. Certainly the market expects that he won't. The Titans are 3-point favorites in that game, home to Houston. If C.J. Stroud plays, obviously that is not going to be the line. Now, typically about 1 in 4 guys have come back from a concussion the following week. But just given everything that's been said, the way D'Amico Ryan's talked about it, I suspect that we're probably not going to see C.J. Stroud this week.
Yeah, and by the way, that's the question is, like, let's pretend you do, okay? Like can you even use him? Because we don't expect Nico Collins, right? I mean, right. Exactly. Tank Dell is out. Nico Collins is out. We don't know about Dalton Schultz. And you'll sort of look at this, bad against the Jets, wasn't great against Denver, around 15, 16 fantasy points, only threw the one touchdown pass. He was great against Jacksonville, but then week 11 against Arizona, he throws the three picks as well. Wasn't a great day at the offense. He's been under 17 fantasy points in 3 of the last 4 games. And again, now you've got no Nico Collins, no Tank Dell, potentially no Nico Collins, potentially no Dalton Schultz, definitely no Tank Dell. He'll have missed practice time even if he gets cleared. Like, it just feels like C.J. Stroud is one of these guys that you rode into the playoffs, and I don't think you can count him even if he's active. And you're right, the tea leaves as we sit here on Wednesday aren't pointing towards him going.
Lawrence, another player on there, Aaron Jones, who, you know, you kind of talk about him helping sink your fantasy season. It's also without him, the Packers' offense has just not looked the same.
Yeah, and what'll be important here, too, is there were actually some teams I made the playoffs for Aaron Jones. So if you do still have him on your roster, like, you're hoping he could get back, like, ASAP. They said he was close to coming back during the last game against the Giants, but like you said, the offense sputtered out against a Giants defense that's been playing a lot better, to be quite frank. But this is something where, you know, they played the Monday night game. You shouldn't even have had to depend on him playing. So always have that plan if Aaron Jones isn't able to go, but keep an eye out on it.
I also think the other thing there is that Jordan Love was horrific on Monday night against the Giants. He was really bad. This was back to the first month of the season, Jordan Love. Think back to the Lions game where he really struggled.
He was Jordan Hate.
Yeah,
thank
good.
You. There you go. God bless. Thank you.
Take the rest of the day.
There you go.
anyway.
There you go.
Yeah,
the Tommy DeVito kiss
for Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. Two shows on Sunday, try the curly fries.
Okay, and I think that will make them lean into the run a little bit more, because there was the thought that, Jordan Love has arrived. His stats are like Aaron Rodgers were in his first season as a starter, but I don't know. Jordan Love might not be the guy, but they might want to lean on the run a bit.
Now, they got Tampa Bay this week, so...
Tampa Bay is a pass-funnel defense.
Yes. He'll get right against them.
The final one here that I want to talk about here, Matthew, is Brian Robinson, just because they're coming out of the bye week. Fortunately for you, you said the Commanders couldn't lose last week, and they didn't. And he's had some time, but it's a hamstring injury, and we know how delicate these could be, you know, for a player that he survived much worse. But there's no guarantee that Brian Robinson's back in this backfield.
No, there isn't. And like, you know, hamstrings injuries are tough. By the way, you don't love the matchup against the Rams. Rams are sixth best run defense over the last 4 weeks as well. Commanders are basically a touchdown underdog. It's -6.5 right now is the current line. So the positives of Robinson are that he seems to get a lot of work regardless of workload. They actually do use him in the passing game somewhat. And if you tell me somebody on the Commanders scores a touchdown against the Rams, I feel like Robinson is probably the most likely. I would bet, I haven't checked at it, but I bet anytime touchdown odds for Robinson are probably the best of anyone on the Commanders on DraftKings, but or worse, depending on how you want to look at it. Yeah. You know, like most likely, the odds are most likely that it's Brian Robinson, but he's a little bit dicey. And we're going to talk about this throughout the show. You guys will see this, but it is the playoffs. So in the playoffs, and Lawrence, you may want to pay attention to this for next year, but in the playoffs, like, you can't set your lineup the way you would in a normal season where you're like, I'll give it a shot or whatever. It's bye weeks. I don't care. Like, it is, unless you were in one of those leagues where you have a 2-week playoff, this is win or go home. Like, you know, and so the margin for error is very thin. You're playing against, in theory, the elite teams in your league. So anything where it's just like any of those tiebreakers for me, I want safe. Now, again, we'll talk about this as we get throughout the show, which is where, hey, I'm down big. Like, I'm playing the number one seed. I snuck in on a tiebreaker, and I just lost Justin Herbert. I got to swing for the fences. You know, whatever it is, right? There's, you know, I'm in one league where I got in, but I lost Tank Dell. I don't have Aaron Jones. Like, I'm hurt, and I lost Burrow. Like, so I'm piecing it together. So in scenarios like that where you've got to, like, swing for the fences, it might make more sense. But generally speaking, I tend to be more conservative than not in the playoffs. I want more floor than upside, again, because in theory, everyone on your team is good. You're playing teams that are good. These question marks just, you know, they can kill your season.
Or you could have my team in our league, which is now based around Chargers and Steelers stats as I head into the playoffs. Literally half my team are Chargers and Steelers. It's very grievous. If this was an NFL game, I would be a 13.5-point underdog. It doesn't even matter who I'm playing.
You might as well just let me take my team and take your playoff spot.
You would have a better team than me. I heard you had Lamar Jackson. He's better than my entire team combined. Right. I have no one.
Well, we put up a season high in the last week.
He did.
My team's built around Najee Harris, Deontay Johnson, Josh Palmer, and Easton Stick.
And
They're all starting. Pat Freiermuth might have to start in my flex. It's very grim.
By the way, Jay's going to win the whole league. Yeah, that's how this happens.
I'm going to need every prop on those players.
I need 40 points from Jake Ferguson. I really need one of those kind of three touchdown games.
There's always a chance. Yeah. Let's look at the injuries for Thursday night football. Speaking of those Chargers, Jay, Keenan Allen did not practice Monday or Tuesday with the heel. Josh Jacobs with the quad. He hasn't practiced this week either. And on their wide receiver front, because somebody's got to catch the ball from Easton Stick, Josh Palmer activated off IR on Tuesday. He's missed the last 6 games for the Chargers, 13 points per game when he does play 70% of the team's snaps. And speaking of Easton Stick, we got to hear from him on making the start this week. Let's hear from Easton Stick.
No nerves. Maybe on Thursday, you know, that's kind of standard, right, for everybody before you go out there. But, no, obviously this isn't how I envisioned it, but, you know, when they selected me 5 years ago, you know, this is what you want as a kid, is opportunity to go play, and so I'm excited for that.
You paid attention to all the other backup quarterbacks, like everyone. Tommy DeVito last night, Jake Browning last couple of weeks.
You know, I know Jake a little bit. You know, we were the same class, and so it's been really cool watching him get his opportunity and have a bunch of success. But, you know, we followed as much as anybody. You know, there's so much going on, and it feels like this year more than any year. You know, it's been unfortunate. A lot of the top players at our position have gotten hurt, and so it's unfortunate, but it's part of the game.
That was Easton Stick fired up.
for his big start against the Raiders, fellas.
Doesn't fill me with a great deal of confidence.
well, you during that game, better be confident. He's a big super flex player right now.
The stick man,
my
not
team
so much.
Is based around him. And to tell you how I'm feeling, I just changed my team name in the league to the Stickman. During that sound. So I'm all in Eastern Stick, but I'm not very confident.
Wait, hold on. He's your top quarterback?
It's him and Derek Carr. Yeah. I had Josh Dobbs and Justin Herbert, and they're both done.
Yeah.
I'm always considering starting Josh Dobbs because of the chance that Mullins is so bad he gets pulled at halftime.
That's what I'm going to do better than Houston Stick.
Yeah.
Right. See, this is why you drink free, Lawrence. Like, you're out of the playoffs, and this guy's in.
Nonsense.
Houston Stick and Derek Carr.
Yeah. Yeah. Brutal.
Oh, man. Well, if you're in a position like us, especially when I say us, I mean Jay and I, I'm starting Mitch Trubisky. He's starting Easton Stick.
It is.
Gotta love it.
People in this league.
Oh, like, it's insanity.
It's a 12-team league with Superflex, and people hoard quarterbacks like you would not believe. And then there's been so many quarterback injuries that, like Burrow, Cousins, Deshaun Watson, that have been out for the year, Aaron Rodgers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it is just, it's. Like, I have Bailey Zappe and Joe Flacco on my team in this league because I picked them up 3 weeks ago when they were backups, hoping they would get a shot. Like, that's how ugly and desperate
they're
it is.
They're not your stars, though.
No. I got Jalen Hurts and Sam Howell, future Hall of Famer Sam Howell, which is one of the reasons why I'm first in this league. It's like,
right, so Jay and Connor, would y'all feel better if y'all had guys like Tommy DeVito or Jake Browning on y'all rosters?
100%.
100%.
Then I feel
I
good.
I can't get them. I can't win a claim. I tried for Jake Browning.
Right. You've done your work. Anyway, so this is how this all came up. Yesterday on the pre-show meeting, we were talking about, okay, there's probably people out there that are like us, that are like desperate
sick
for
humans.
Sick human beings, but like that are in leagues where they, because of injuries, or right, they were riding Dobbs for a little while and he's lost his job, whatever. They need a quarterback this week. And the only thing that's really out there on the waiver wire are just kind of these, you know, dregs of humanity, as it were, fantasy-wise, just fantasy-wise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not a commentary on Easton Stick's nature as a man. No.
And by all accounts, a lovely guy.
He looked like a lovely chap.
Lovely. I interviewed him like 6 years ago at the rookie NFLPA rookie premiere. Yeah. Lovely guy. Yeah. Very nice guy. So again, whatever, just the bottom of the barrel, if you will, purely from a fantasy perspective. And so we thought, like, let's do a bad quarterback draft. And so what we did is, before the show, very quickly, we came up with a draft order. And here's the draft pool. As you see it there, for people that are only listening to the audio, it's Gardner Minshew, Nick Mullins, who's starting for Minnesota, Easton Stick, Aiden O'Connell starting for the Raiders, Tommy DeVito, Bailey Zappe, Mitch Trubisky gets another start for Pittsburgh, Bryce Young, Zach Wilson, the hero from last week, Joe Flacco of the Browns, Desmond Ridder for Lawrence's Falcons, and, of course, Will Levis. So those 12 guys, we're going to draft three quarterbacks each for this week only. I believe the draft order is Jay, Lawrence, Connor, and then myself.
Close. Lawrence, Jay.
Lawrence, Jay. This is why I don't host. It is Lawrence, Jay, Connor, and then myself. You had the number one pick in our show league, and you finished last. We'll see how you do here today. We're going to do a snake draft.
Bad
quarterbacks. What do you got?
I'm hearing that while we've been taping, Aiden O'Connell is not guaranteed to start. It could be back to Jimmy G.
So he's still available in LA.
So don't draft Aiden O'Connell here.
Look at Jay. He's trying to pick him up.
Go ahead, Jay. You know what? Knock yourself the hell out. I'm not even. You know what I'm gonna do? Like, I've got a phone right here. I could try to beat you to the waiver wire. And you know what I'm doing? Not going close.
Yeah, Connor might get to it first.
Here's my phone, and I'm...
Connor Rogers might get to it first.
You guys knock yourselves out.
Who got them?
I'll run the show while you two battle over Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, of course he's roster.
In our league. That's fantastic.
I didn't realize Nick Mullins was available in our league. Mullins is I just picked him up. He's going to start for me.
You got him?
He might be my best player.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
I just tried, and
oh my God.
He's not available.
Congratulations.
Brutal.
All right, well, you picked up Nick Mullins in our show league. You have a chance.
Maybe.
To draft him in our league right here. So here we go. I will figure out a prize here on for who wins this. Most total points from the three quarterbacks in week one. You know, maybe they drink free next Wednesday.
This is my shot at redemption. Are we
here
starting
go.
Right
We're
now?
Starting
I'm
going
to go with my favorite quarterback on this list, Zach Wilson. Let's go.
Oh, there it is. Zach Wilson off the
board. At Miami. Any reason why? Other than just because, you know, Connor would take him?
I picked the Jets to win last week. I picked Zach Wilson to do well. And I think, you know, he might not do as well this week, but he's throwing the ball more. And he's throwing it more accurately and better and all that good stuff. Give me Zach.
Well, I'm about to draft Nick Mullins twice in 40 seconds because hugely favorable matchup against the Bengals secondary.
Yep.
Justin Jefferson looks like he's going to play. Good O-line, just Jefferson, Hockenson, and Addison. I'll take my chances with that quarterback, so Nick Mullins.
All right, give me Will the Thrill Levis. He's got Houston. That defense has looked horrendous against bad quarterbacks this year. Levis is a madman. Maybe you get a rushing touchdown in here as well.
He's a crazy man.
Yep. All right. So now it's for me for two picks.
Two picks.
Well, come on. Tommy DeVito, come on. You're telling me Luigi isn't going to take Tommy DeVito? Since week 11, he's actually the 15th best quarterback in fantasy, at least 17 fantasy points in two of the past three. I want Tommy DeVito, and then coming back around, because, you know, sometimes it's about taking what the board will give you. Also because I know that I might be able to trade Desmond Ridder to Lawrence for a huge bounty. He's playing Carolina. Nah. You know, I'm at QB 24 this week as well.
Damn.
Gets a little bit of rushing there as well. It was between him and Flacco for me at this spot, but I'm going to go with Desmond Ridder, partially to screw over Lawrence and partially because I do think he'll, you know, he showed something last week fantasy-wise. He's had a bunch of top 10 finishes this year. Super weird.
It is a little weird.
Yeah, so you didn't screw me over because I was not going to pick Desmond Ridder.
It's not your turn.
Oh, my God. I'm
going back around.
Go ahead, Connor.
I mean, don't worry. I'm not sniping you anyway. I'm going to take Mitch Trubisky because I have to do this in real life, so I need to convince myself that Trubisky is going to do something in fantasy this week. Trubisky's got the Colts. Colts have a bottom five scoring defense over the last 4 weeks. I mean, this is a prayer.
A little bit of rushing. There's a little bit of rushing upside with Trubisky.
He's been a one-read-and-run quarterback. Now, how far he's actually able to run, as Jay and I were laughing at, is the question mark.
You think he's Lamar Jackson? Just like as soon as the first read is coming. Yeah.
He used to be that what they said back then.
He had over 20 fantasy points last week.
Yes, he did.
Which is honestly a disgrace.
100%.
Needs to be fixed somehow.
So let's see if we can double down.
We need to talk to the founding fathers about this.
I would take 14 this week. 14 is what I'm looking for. Yeah. All right, Lawrence. It's back to Jay.
So you mentioned Trubisky and how he can run a little. Well, a man who cannot run a little is Joe Flacco, who is statuesque in the pocket, but hoofs it downfield, as we know.
He does hoof it.
And is piling up the yards. And they seem to trust him somewhat. And he gets a matchup against the Bears defense that is good, but is especially good against the run. So I think they're going to need to be throwing. So give me Joe Flacco.
I like that pick. It was only between Flacco and Ridder for me right there. Because, again, his two starts as the Browns for Flacco, 89 pass attempts. They're throwing a ton. And he's not as susceptible to the blitz of the Bears as some other, you know, lesser experienced quarterbacks would be.
Yes.
All right, Lawrence.
So now I feel like I'm in a real draft. I just got sniped right here because I was going to pick Flacco right there, right? He's thrown it 44 times each game. But I'm gonna go with Bailey Zappe here.
Sure.
You know, it's going to be tougher for him this week against the Chiefs, but 19-28, 240 yards, three touchdowns in the pick. That's the best Patriots quarterback game I've seen in a very – maybe since, like, Mac Jones' rookie year. So I'm going to go with Bailey Zappe as my QB2. I'm all AFC East up.
All right. And you got another pick now, Lawrence?
Yeah.
My next pick will be – so they're saying Aiden O'Connor might not start. So do I get Jimmy G?
No. That's not the draft.
Do I get –
His name's not Aiden O'Connell.
I should be able to get Jimmy G because they're playing the Chargers.
I don't know about this.
Technically – he's out there. Well, not
our league. When you draft Garoppolo. If you'd rather Garoppolo. maybe you draft Aiden, just like a normal draft.
Yes.
You draft O'Connell, and then you hope Garoppolo comes back around. You draft his insurance. Right, yeah.
Garoppolo may not start.
I hate you all. I'm taking Aiden O'Connell.
There you go.
All right, Jay.
There you go.
Right back to you.
All right. In a non-Jimmy G world, I am taking Gardner Minshew.
Sure.
Which is not overly inspiring, and the matchup against the Pittsburgh defense isn't amazing, but Bailey Zappe can light them up. I think Gardner Minshew can do a little bit of work as well on Saturday.
That's the kind of thing you said to Kira, and it completely screwed over her team, but it is what it is, our friend Kira.
I said to Kira.
Yeah.
We said to Kira.
We all
I was busy with my kids. I piled on at the end, like, yeah, Minshew.
Yeah, what Connor and Jay said.
Geno Smith owes us something, because we conjured up the greatest game of his career for him and by saying that Minshew should start over Geno.
Yes. All right, guys, I claim the stick, man. Easton Stick is mine, finally. I've tried to get him on waivers, couldn't get him. I get him in the super flex draft. I mean, the Raiders' bottom 10 pass defense over the last month is what you're hoping for here. I pray Keenan Allen plays.
All right. Well, I'm left with Bryce Young.
Wow.
So I've got Bryce Young and Desmond Ridder. Very exciting. The over-under is 35 in this game. So I've got both sides of that. NFC South matchup on fire. So real quickly, why don't we just recap the teams because we won't have the graphics built. In order of drafting, Lawrence, your team is?
So I got Zach Wilson, Bailey Zappe, and Aiden O'Connell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's going to be tough to beat, but...
it is. Did you not see Zach Wilson?
I actually quite like my team, and it's better than my real-life team. Mullins, Flacco, and Minshew.
I like that team better.
Not too bad. All right, I got Will Levis, Mitch Trubisky, and Easton Stick. Right. Started out fine. Didn't finish off too hot.
Yeah, I think I like Jay's team the best, actually. Yep, Tommy DeVito, Desmond Ritter, and Bryce Young.
You got screwed by draft position.
Bryce Young picking fourth
you,
in the...
You got a couple of dudes that'll run the ball, though. Yeah. Like, Tommy DeVito was really good with his legs.
The pride of New York. Yeah. I got Tommy Cutlets. Desmond Ritter, this is a crazy stat, correct me if I'm wrong, someone get in my ear, but I saw this on Twitter, something like, Desmond Ritter has, like, more 300-yard passing games this year than, like, Mahomes. He's had, like... Ritter is one of these guys that, like, he's either really good fantasy-wise. Like, he's been bad all year. But, like, fantasy-wise, he either puts up a lot of points or he's brutal. But, like, there's no in-between. Like, Ritter's had some truly great fantasy performances, including
Kyle Dvorak.
Including last week. And here's our own Kyle Dvorak. Desmond Ritter and Gardner Minshew have as many 300-yard games as Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbst, and Jalen Hurts this year. Feel old yet? Kyle, I feel old every single day, not just because of your tweet, you young punk.
The problem with Patrick Mahomes and accumulating yards is the mechanic of getting passing yards when someone needs to catch the ball
that
on the side. And he hasn't been able to get that done.
It also goes to show that just straight passing yards isn't everything. And that's always been the case. You don't have to throw for 4,500 yards to be the best.
Yeah. Let's jump into who's eating good, served
Tommy
by
Cutlets.
Applebee's. And guys, it's Wednesday. Lawrence is here. That means somehow Desmond Ritter takes up about 30% of the show. I don't know how this always happens. Desmond Ritter against the Panthers. He comes in as QB24 for you this week, Barry, and you did draft him in our bad quarterback snake draft. So can Desmond Ritter stay eating good?
I mean, look, I'm a QB24, so probably not. If there's some positives here, like, he had a lot of pass attempts last week, his most since week 7, and games in which he has at least 32 pass attempts, he's averaging over 19 fantasy points per game. Now, this game was indoors against the Buccaneers, who are a pass-funnel defense, if we talk about at all. But there's a positive, is they let him sling it, and overall, he made a lot of nice plays, kept Drake London and Kyle Pitts, their fantasy value, above water, as it were. They both had really good games here. The downside is like this matchup with Carolina isn't a pushover. Last 4 weeks, the Panthers have the third best pass defense in the NFL. Opposing quarterbacks against Carolina have scored under 15 fantasy points 6 of the last 7 games. This game is in Carolina, so it's not indoors on the turf. The more I think about it, I should have picked Joe Flacco. I should have picked Flacco. I screwed up there. I was trying to. I'll be honest with you.
You thought wrong.
I did think wrong. Yeah, I was trying to have fun with Lawrence
and content over strategy because I'll mess with him.
This is why I wouldn't have drafted him this particular week. Carolina's allowed 1 200-yard passer in the last 7 games. Ritter himself, that was like week 14 was his first game throwing over 200 yards since week 7. So going up against the 6th worst team against quarterbacks in Tampa Bay, going to be different against Carolina, who, you know, Derek Carr, quarterback 21 versus them. Mayfield, QB 21. Levis, QB 31. So, and the over-under's 35. So, yeah, I was definitely not drafting Ritter in this little shindig league.
That's true. I think the biggest issue is that Carolina have a terrible run defense, and Arthur Smith doesn't need an excuse to hide Desmond Ritter and just commit fully to the run.
Crazy too is Desmond Ritter lead the team in rushing touchdowns.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping Ritter at least passes for one, runs one in. you know, and we sneak by there. But do you want Desmond Ridder for Joe Flacco? I'll offer you that trade right now.
No,
I can't believe this dude threw it 45 times each game. Like, I want that alone.
I know. The Bears defense makes me nervous, Joseph. The Bears defense has played really, really well.
They can rush the passer a little bit now, and
they
can't move.
Exactly. That's like,
he cannot move.
That was it. Now, like, he has a quick release. He'll be able to get rid of the ball, but, like, there's going to be times where he's just getting sacked, and does he get hurt? Does he, like, he's old.
He's quite old.
Like, you know, he is quite old. Yeah. He's, you know, like,
a long time ago.
Trust me. Like, I know it gets harder and harder to get up every single time you get hit.
You don't think you'd get up if Montez Sweat came at you full go?
I don't think I'd get up if Montez Sweat looked at me. Like, if he just did one of these, like, bah, you know, like, I'd fall over.
Surrender.
Yeah, exactly.
That could be a good content, actually.
Yeah. All right, our next one here, Jay. Ezekiel Elliott finished as RB1 last week. He got all of the touches in the Patriots' backfield on his way to 27 points. Comes in as a top 10 play for Barry this week, which tells you Zeke should stay eating good in this offense.
Tell you what, he'd be the best running back on the Dallas Cowboys right now, Ezekiel Elliott. He looked fantastic against the Steelers, and I think the key is the work that he was able to do in the receiving game, where he was basically Bailey Zappi's number one option. And with all the injuries the Patriots have had at wide receiver, I think he's going to continue to be a big part of the passing game, and he just has more burst at the moment as a runner, and he's going to get a lot of volume. So, yeah, I feel very good about Ezekiel Elliott.
It's nice to see that it took Zeke going from the Cowboys to the Patriots, and, you know, for us to show him some love. But speaking, they're going against Kansas City this week. They've allowed, in their last four out of their last six games, they've allowed a top 10 running back in fantasy. One of those that wasn't was another RB13. That was Raheem Mostert. They allowed James Cook to have his best fantasy game of the season just last week. So if Zeke's going to keep getting 20, 25 touches, he had 29 last week, yeah, we like that a lot.
Josh Jacobs as well had over 100 yards from scrimmage from them a couple weeks ago. To your point, the Chiefs' run defense is not all that recently as well. In fact, over the last month, they are a bottom 12 run defense. The other thing that's exciting about Ezekiel Elliott, exciting being a relative term, is that last week, he had a 30% target share. Bailey Zappi is not scared to just dump it off to Ezekiel Elliott. He was actually more effective through the air than he was on the ground against Pittsburgh. Volume got him there on the ground, but his touchdown was actually a receiving touchdown in that Thursday night game. We're not expecting Rhamondre Stevenson to play in this one as well. So Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, welcome to the world, but, like, he's a top 10 play for me in the first week of the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah. No, I like it. By the way, we should mention, it's not been ruled out that Brian Hoyer will be the starting quarterback tomorrow. So if you are absolutely desperate in a Superflex league and you don't have a second quarterback, go pick up Brian Hoyer, just in case.
You never know.
Yeah. Well, that's my quarterback.
It could be Hoyer or
you
Garoppolo.
You get the Raiders. Yeah. Whoever starts. Yeah. Yeah.
Or O'Connell.
Yeah. And Tony Pierce is not committed to the best of those three magnificent options.
Right. Maybe, what about Josh Jacobs? Hang on. Josh Jacobs played wildcat quarterback in high school. When he was in high school, they used him in a wildcat. He played some quarterback in high school.
Listen,
in all seriousness, I'm going to go full wildcat with Josh Jacobs.
We'll see what happens.
They used the normal regulation quarterback against the Vikings, and they scored 0 points. So we cannot get any worse, literally, by definition.
So, anyway, that'll be fun watching.
fun is an interesting word, yeah.
But again, this is why there's betting. This is why there's fantasy.
There's unders.
Because you know you're going to watch the damn game. You can't resist it. You're going to have to.
Yeah. I will say the line will definitely move in Vegas' favor if Jimmy G is the quarterback. Jimmy G is the best of these three guys, and I don't think it's particularly close.
Yeah. All right, Lawrence, our final one here. Garrett Wilson against the Dolphins. He had a pretty big week, obviously, against Houston. You said you like Zach Wilson.
You had already been eliminated from the playoffs in our league, but he had a good week for you in our show.
Over 20 points, Lawrence. Yeah, top 10 finish for him. Can he keep it going?
It's a nice time for that to happen there as I was out the playoffs weeks ago. He had 14 targets, so, yeah, I think he can keep it going. If you're going to get 14 targets, if you're going to get double-digit targets versus any defense, it doesn't matter who it is, then you're a player that should be in lineups. But it was nice to see him have these numbers in the Jets' offense play well and Zach Wilson play well. Them just doing well on that side of the ball
with
overall.
A lead, not garbage time.
Right, so that's how you know he'll be able to get it there. Like, you don't really take it to consider. Like, he's been in a kind of a cold streak recently. A couple of weeks ago, he had 7 catches for 44 with a garbage touchdown, but that was at Tim Boyle. I don't think any of us ever felt like Tim Boyle was the better option at quarterback. So, we just saw what Will Levis and that Titans offense did to that ailing Miami Dolphins roster. So, yeah, we still like Garrett Wilson.
One of the arguments against Zach Wilson was just like he could never get the ball to Garrett Wilson, you know, last year and everything like that. But very quietly, 4 of the last 6 games where Zach Wilson has been the quarterback, Garrett Wilson's had at least 17 fantasy points. Now, occasionally it's like it's got to be a crazy one-handed catch. Or it's got to be a broken tackle and he's off to the races. But by hook or by crook, Garrett Wilson has been able to get at least 17 fantasy points in 4 of the past 6 with Zach Wilson as well. He's my wide receiver 18 this week. I think if you have Garrett Wilson and you've managed to make the playoffs, I don't know that you have a better option. You're starting him.
Yep. Firstly, great usage of by hook or by crook. That's the first one in a while. Me and Connor enjoyed that one. Sure Lawrence did.
Hardy laughs in the desk.
But the other thing, too, is Javon Holland has been the best player on the Dolphins' defense.
Have you never heard that phrase?
No, I have. I've heard it plenty of times.
Right.
But yeah.
Just from old people?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, precisely. From the Joe Flaccos of the world.
That's my contemporary.
Wait, hold on.
At the nursing home, we use it all the time.
I'm older than Joe Flacco. What's going on here?
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Well, Javon Holland, just quickly.
The issue is you have a youthful appearance to you, Lawrence. I look
old
as
Javon Holland.
The issue is just like you and I might be the same age. I just look old as dirt. And you have a youthful appearance to you. It's very upsetting.
Listen, because Connor wants to hear the Javon Holland point.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's been the best player on their defense. And he said yesterday he has 2 sprained MCLs, but he's optimistic about playing this week.
Oh, interesting.
I saw that yesterday, too.
Ron Holland, the king of the Hail Mary, by the way.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's 2 sprained MCLs.
Yeah, all right. I have very healthy MCLs. I'm not playing tomorrow. So there you go.
All right. This holiday season, we're doing something special
for you.
It comes in the form of fantasy football pregame.
Wait, what?
At a special time on Saturday, December 23rd. Barry, Jay, and Lawrence, not me, will be live from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern as they preview the Christmas weekend slate leading into Football Night in America. And remember, tweet us as always using the hashtag FFPregame. God, you guys are the warm-up act for Football Night in America?
Genuinely did not know about this, but I am about
it. I was like, oh. Yeah,
how did Connor, it's a Saturday. How did Connor get out of that?
I got things to do. We're taking a break. When we're back, keep it open or close it out. Our version of Start 6 right after this.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Watch arguably the best game to date of the college basketball season this Saturday. Top-ranked Arizona faces off with reigning Naismith Player of the Year Zach Edey and number 3 Purdue in a matchup that could be a preview of a Final Four game later this year. The two powers tip off at 4:30 p.m. Eastern exclusively on Peacock.
Second half was just not even close to good enough. Execution, and I wish there was one thing I could say, if we clean this up, you know, it would be different, but it was a million things. It was myself, you know, everyone had a hand in it, and has to be a lot better.
Keep it open or close it out, our version here at the Happy Hour Bar of Start Sit. That was Jared Goff you heard talking about his bad second half in Week 14, so that's where we start, Matthew. Jared Goff against the Broncos comes in as QB what for you?
QB 19, so I'm closing it out on Jared Goff. Look, under 240 pass. If there's a positive here, the game's at home in the dome. So that's a positive, but This isn't a great matchup. Since week five, the Broncos have allowed one or fewer passing touchdowns in 8 of 9 games. Over that stretch, they allow the third fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks, just 12.6. And Goff has had under 240 passing yards in 3 of the past 4 games. He just doesn't seem to be on the same page with Amon-Ra St. Brown. The offensive line's a little bit banged up as well. I think they're going to try to run the ball against Denver in this one as well. Denver's 17th against the run over the last month, so I could see a lot of Gibbs and Montgomery in game script because I don't think the Broncos come in and blow them out. But it also means that I just don't think Goff has to throw a ton crazily. So right. I'm closing it out on Jared Goff.
Yeah, I got him at QB 18. I'm going to close it out as well. Denver, you know, kept C.J. Stroud and Josh Allen to QB 15 when they faced them. The past 4 weeks, he's been quarterback 21 on a points-per-game basis. That's behind Tommy DeVito, behind Gardner Minshew, behind Desmond Ridder. Maybe Goff should have been in our draft earlier today.
Shots fired. So he's not that.
He's an MVP candidate at one point.
Exactly.
He's my other starting quarterback with Trubisky, so I feel really good right now going into the playoffs. All right, the next one here, Jay, DeAndre Swift against the Seahawks. He comes in as RB20 for Barry. It's not been a good couple weeks here on the ground for Swift in the Seagulls' offense.
No, sir, it has not. But they go up against the Seahawks' rushing defense, which is the third worst in the league by efficiency. Here's the other thing that I think is a little bit underrated about the Eagles. They finally got some rest. They get an extra day's break. They've had this brutal schedule. These past 5 games have been against the best teams in football, at a rest disadvantage constantly. I think they will look fresher, and I think DeAndre Swift will finally have some room to run, so I'm keeping it open.
Especially against Seattle. Over the last 4 weeks, they allow the 8th most fantasy points to opposing running backs. They've given up 135 rushing yards to running backs in 3 straight games. And let's be clear, this Eagles offense has struggled a little bit, so I think they're going to want to get back to bases, especially on the road at Seattle. So I think Swift, who should get a heavy workload, when he's seen at least 15 touches this season, he's averaging over 15 fantasy points per game. He's my running back 20. I am keeping it open on DeAndre Swift.
All right. Next up, Jaylen Warren against the Colts here. Lawrence, Jaylen Warren, 3 straight games with single-digit fantasy points. Can you continue to start him?
This one was close to me. I like the matchup here as Indy allows the fourth most points to running backs. I actually like Najee Harris this week. Yeah, wow. I do like Najee Harris this week. He's got the 6th highest percentage rate for rushing attempts inside the 10. But for Jaylen Warren, he's only been averaging 7 fantasy points the last 3 weeks, which is RB42. I got him at running back 34 this week. It's close, but I'm going to close it out.
I'm actually going to keep Jaylen Warren open. Look, against New England, he got 52% of the team snaps. He's now had double-digit target share in back-to-back games. Trubisky's not scared to dump it off. And you think about this Colts defense. Last week against the Bengals, 126 receiving yards to opposing running backs. We saw Chase Brown have that big, long touchdown reception and then run after the catch. We saw Joe Mixon involved in the passing game against them as well last week. I think that's an area to attack the Colts. So give me Jaylen Warren. I'm at running back 31, so again, fairly low, but to the extent you've been using Jaylen Warren this year, I'm keeping it open. I think better days are ahead for him this week. I think he's a viable flex this week.
Yep. It hurts me that you've got him one spot ranked ahead of Najee Harris, who
that
my team
purposeful.
Is built around for the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think this is a borderline one. I will say with the Colts, they played back a lot against Cincinnati because they were so worried about Chase getting deep against their untested corner. So I think that they will adjust somewhat. Grover Stewart is back for them. He is basically their entire run defense. But you don't feel amazing about Jaylen Warren, but you can do worse.
Yeah, but by the way, even though I'm not saying they're Jamar Chase, but Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, if they're worried about speed, those two guys can fly, and Trubisky will sling it. So, I mean, they may have to still continue to play back a little bit because of the big playability of those two guys.
Our next one here, Matthew, Keaton Mitchell against Jacksonville. Yeah. Mitchell's looked good when he gets the ball. The problem is he does not get a ton of touches in this offense.
11 or fewer touches in every single game this season. The Keaton Mitchell breakout that we thought was going to happen last week didn't. We thought, hey, they're going to come out of the bye, and he's overtaken Gus Edwards, and he sort of has, but right. But that's more of a knock on Gus Edwards than it is, whoa, Keaton Mitchell exploded. Single-digit fantasy points in 2 of the past 3 games. It's not a great matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who allow the 3rd fewest rushing yards per game to running backs. Keaton Mitchell hasn't gotten involved in the passing game the way we thought he might have recently, so that's still potential, but he's had just 1 game this year with multiple receptions. Like, right. For the most part, he's just basically getting one reception. They're using him as a runner. No team in the NFL has a lower running back target share this year than the Ravens. They don't throw to the running back as a big part of their offense. And the other issue is, by the way, is we're coming off a game where Lamar Jackson had almost 400 total yards, his best game this entire season. So it's not like the Ravens are going like, oh, we got to figure out a way to get Keaton Mitch involved because our offense isn't working. Their offense is rolling.
Yeah.
It's looking great. It's just not with him. Yeah. I mean, you have OBJ and Zay Flowers and Isaiah Likely and Lamar. Like, I just don't see Keaton Mitchell having a huge game. I'm at running back 36. I'm closing it out.
I got him at 30, running back 32. I'm going to close out as well. I would feel better if they did use the running backs in the passing game more because Jacksonville is actually allowed a league high 91 receptions to running backs. So that would be good for guys like Austin Eckler or, you know, Joe Mixon or somebody else, but he's only got two targets in each of the last two games, so closing it out on Keith Mitchell.
Jay, Amari Cooper hasn't scored 15-plus points since Week 10 right now. They have the Bears defense that we constantly talk about. They've been resurgent. Can you continue to roll with Cooper and the Joe Flacco show?
You can. You absolutely can, and the reason why, and I mentioned it before, Joe Flacco, he hoofs it. He's a hoofer. He's a hoofman, if you will, and Amari Cooper saw six deep targets last week, and so I think that Flacco will connect more often with Cooper going forward, so I'm keeping it open on Amari Cooper.
Matthew, you agree?
I do indeed agree. I'm at wide receiver 29, so I'm as a top 30 play. Look, week 14, he had a 32% target share. Right, that's his highest since week 8. Six deep targets last week as well. Flacco's not scared to sort of, you know, air it out a little bit here. And to your point, the strength of the Bears defense is that run defense, so they are going to have to throw. Cooper's just too talented, getting too much of the targets here. He's got a competent professional quarterback in Joe Flacco. Yeah, I'm going to keep it open. Again, wide receiver 3, let's not get crazy, but I'm keeping it open on Amari Cooper.
Going further down the list here, Lawrence, Hollywood Brown, just 7 fantasy points in 4 of his under 7 fantasy points in 4 of his past 5. He's got the 49ers this week. Where does Hollywood come in for your rankings?
Yeah, well, he battled that heel injury his last game out versus the Steelers, had to come out there, so he didn't register any numbers there. But the game prior to that against the Rams, they were getting blown out, and he saw his highest amount of targets with Kyler Murray since he's been back, and he was able to get 6 for 88 against them getting blown out. We expect the 49ers to blow them out. And Tyler Lockett last week was able to be a guy who was able to get 6 for 88. DK Metcalf got in the end zone before he got ejected out of the game. So I'm just kind of banking on the fact that Kyler gonna have to throw the ball much like he had to do against the Rams.
Since week 10, Marquise Hollywood Brown on a points per game basis is wide receiver 80. That's what we're talking about here. Wide receiver 80. Since Kyler Murray came back, he is averaging under 6 fantasy points per game. You know, you're signing up for 5.5 fantasy points. He's had under 30 receiving yards in 3 of 4 games that Kyler has started this year as well. I get it. It's a decent matchup. He had a nice game against the Niners earlier in the season, but it's the fantasy playoffs, and I want to be safe unless I need to swing for the fences because of a specific matchup reason. For the most part, just these question mark guys, like, find me somebody that I feel like I can count more in the production. I don't think that's the case with Hollywood Brown. I'm closing it out on him. He's my wide receiver 37 this week.
Our last one, Jay, Terry McLaurin against the Rams. I mean, listen, you want to talk about guys that have not had that have had a tough go of it. Single-digit fantasy points in 4 straight games. It feels crazy to say that about Terry McLaurin, but that's the reality of where we are. Can you continue to start him, especially with playoff implications here?
Can you?
No, I don't think you can, Matthew, Connor, Lawrence. I don't think you can. I think you have to close it out on Terry McLaurin, despite the fact that it is a pretty favorable matchup. Rams pass defense doesn't scare you, but it's been single-digit points for the past 4 weeks. For Terry McLaurin. Now, maybe coming out of the bye, there's a reorientation of their offense to their best player on offense, but I don't think you can necessarily bank on that.
Can I tell you something sad?
Yes, please.
I agree with you.
Oh, boy.
I agree with you. I love Terry McLaurin. You guys know that. He's one of my favorite players in the NFL. I'm a diehard Commanders fan. Somewhere behind me, if you look all the way back there, there's number 17 right there.
The throwback one, too.
We got his jersey on the wall here. We may have to prune a couple of these, by the way, as I sort of look through. Not everyone's still a fantasy superstar, but a lot of them are. But anyway, so we got number 17 up there. I love him, but he's on pace for under 1,000 receiving yards this year. He's had below a 20% target share in four of the past five. In his last 11 games, Terry McLaurin has 90 targets. He's got one touchdown and 90 targets. And you know I love me some future Hall of Famer Sam Howell. And I agree with you. Coming out of the bye, hopefully. And remember, the last game we saw McLaurin, zero receptions and 0 yards. Like, which is, this is a guy that's one of their highest paid players on the team. Like, that can't happen. So I'm sure that there, over the bye week, Eric Bieniemy was looking at how do we get the ball in McLaurin's hands. So I buy all that narrative. And I actually think he'll have a good game. All that said, it is the fantasy playoffs. There are too many negative trends here on an offense where they've spread the ball around passing-wise. Well, I don't know if it's a Bieniemy thing, whether it's a Sam Howell thing. McLaurin's obviously going to get a decent amount of defensive attention. So I sadly have him at wide receiver 32. You see it there on your screen. I'm going to close it out.
To recap, Barry's keep it open, close it out rankings here. Jared Goff is a close at QB 19. DeAndre Swift is an open at RB 20. Jalen Warren also open against the Colts, RB 31. Keaton Mitchell close it out against Jacksonville, RB 36. Amari Cooper against the Bears stays open at wide receiver 29. Two wide receivers that are a close. Hollywood Brown at wide receiver 37 against the 49ers. And Terry McLaurin against the Rams, reluctantly, at wide receiver 32. We are taking our last break. When we're back, it's last call. Find out which sides and totals have piqued our interest this weekend right after this.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, plus all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code Barry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It is time for last call. We got our early line alert courtesy of the odds and totals from DraftKings. Jay, what are you looking at early in the week?
Looking at your New York Jets.
Stay away.
Plus 8.5 against the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins are missing 80% of their offensive line. The Titans have no pass rush. Jeffrey Simmons didn't even play on Monday night, and they still sacked Tua 5 times. And now Tua, with Tyreek Hill and a gimpy ankle and no O-line, gets the Jets defense, which I think now is probably pretty clearly the best defense in football, the way that they've played. Like, no one has good games against the Jets. So I think that through the defense alone, look, Zach Wilson, less confident in him backing that up, but I think he will do enough that this is, I think this line should be 7. I think it should be a touchdown, not 8.5.
That's a lot of points. Lawrence, what do you like?
Bears at Browns, -3.5, but you know me, I go money line, +45. I took the Bears last week when they was 3.5-point dogs. We talked about it earlier, the Bears and their pass rush and Joe Flacco not being as mobile. He's been protected so far, but I think this newfound Bears defense could get to him.
Matthew?
So the Cowboys-Bills over-under is 51, and that's shocking to me. I want the under in this game. Cowboys and Bills are both top 13 scoring defenses since week 11. They both played better defense as well. I don't think Buffalo's offense looks great. I mean, I know they barely beat Kansas City, but, like, that was a comedy of errors. Like, the offense still needs to get worked out a little bit. And on the road, Cowboys are averaging 16 points less on the road than they are at home. And so we know the Cowboys have a very good defense. I think Dallas on the road at Buffalo, I think that's going to be tough. This is a huge game for the Bills' playoff chances. I think this is a tough, low-scoring game. 51 is way too high. Give me the under on Cowboys-Bills 51.
Lawrence, I'm taking your Falcons to cover the 3-point spread against the Panthers. The Panthers have nothing going for them right now, guys. I'm kind of shocked at how low this is. They're just trying to get to the end of the season. It's not been a good stretch for Bryce
Young. What about
my
Bryce Young, baby, that's on my bad quarterback team?
And Desmond Ritter. You got
and Desmond Ritter.
So you're actually, I'm backing your Desmond Ritter.
Battle of the Titans.
Yeah. Falcons minus with the Falcons, they have a lot of guys coming back from injury. So guys like Nate Landman, Caleb McGarry, David Onyemata, all those guys look like they'll be practicing today. And that's a big deal for a team that needs all the help that it can get every single week.
Right.
And having lost to the Buccaneers last week, the Falcons need this win to stay alive in the playoff hope in the playoff race. So I agree with you. I like the Falcons covering against the Panthers.
Yep, very favorable matchup. Just being able to run the ball against that team. I think Bijan.
You should parlay all four of those. Put a couple bucks down. See what happens.
Maybe a round robin.
That's my favorite.
I like the round robin.
Bryce Young balls out.
I'm going to do that. While you're busy sitting there rooting for Nick Mullins.
Hey, I'm very happy with Nick
Mullins. That was a great move by you.
That was a great move.
I regret hosting now. I didn't get him.
Not just for that reason, but there are a lot of reasons.
Let's keep it at that.
It's closing times. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For Lawrence, Jay, and Connor, I'm Matthew. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.